The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first month of the first week of the blessed month of Hatur. And the month of Hatur precedes the month of Kiyak, which is, of course, the time of the nativity season, in which we prepare for the coming of the Lord and celebrating His divine incarnation. So the readings of the month of Hatur focus on the Gospel, or the Word of God, in preparation for receiving the incarnation of the Word of God, or the Logos. So it begins by choosing for us the parable of the sower, which is very familiar to us. A man went out to sow, and the person who's sowing here is the Lord Jesus. And the seed are the gospel that is spread on all of the types of ground. And the ground is each one's heart, the humanity, right? So the purpose of the parable is for us to evaluate which heart that we are. And the Lord interpreted this parable for us. And he said that those who's were the wayside are the ones who hear the word, yet the devil comes and snatches the word out of their heart, like the birds snatch the seed that are sown. And these can be from the distractions of the world that Satan creates for us, confusing us, and so on. And then the rock are those hearts that hear the word of God with joy, but because they don't have any roots, as soon as any kind of tribulation come, they fall because there's no strength in the root. And lastly, there's this, the thorny ground are those who hear the word, and then because of their entangled with the cares of life and the pleasures of life and the riches of life, they disregard the word of God. And then in the last case, he gives the good ground which bears good fruit. When he spoke about this good ground, he said what? In the last verse from today, he says, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. A very important aspect of our spiritual life and our spiritual maturity is this patience. Our journey, our spiritual journey is the journey. Yes, it's a long journey. Therefore, it requires for us to be patient. So I'd like to speak briefly this morning about what is it that requires patience, or where is patience needed in our spiritual journey? How can we mature or grow patiently? Number one is the spiritual maturity happens over time. That this needs patience from us. But firstly, I have to say that spiritual maturity is something that doesn't occur naturally. You know, if we take a young baby and all we do is feed the baby, they will grow naturally because this is how it is, how we're programmed. But in terms of our spiritual life and our spiritual maturity, it doesn't happen just naturally. We can have people who are 40, 50, and 60 years old who are still like babes. All they do when they pray, they just say, and if they say Our Father, or they just kind of say, Lord Jesus, help me, and that's it. Right? They don't know the Lord's Prayer and so on. So there can be adults who are like babes in Christ. So it doesn't happen naturally. It's something we have to do purposefully. Only, my beloved, in heaven, when we get there, by God's grace, will the growth that happens there happen naturally. Because now we have still the corrupt nature, right? It still leans towards sin and corruption. So we have to fight to grow spiritually. When we get to heaven, this won't be the case. This we will grow, you know, unhindered. It's almost like, you know, if anybody, like in space, like when they launch something in space, they use like large thrusters, right? And they launch it from Earth into space. Once it gets out of the atmosphere and into space where there's no gravity, the acceleration happens constantly, right? Without any extra, you know, boosters. I remember I heard something and when they launched one of the rockets here, and I think it went to Saturn, Mishreka, the name of it. But they launched the rocket, and it took four or some years to get there, right? And they said it got there right on time, but we were off by 2 seconds. 4 years of traveling off by 2 seconds? Just because it was constant. They could calculate it. So when we go to heaven, this will be like this. Our growth will happen, you know, unhindered. But here, we have to struggle. And the Lord, or St. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, he says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this maturity ought to happen from glory to glory, from better to better and so on. And if we look in the many examples in Scripture of the great people we revere in Scripture, like Moses, for example, his spiritual maturity took some 80 years, right? He spent 40 years where? First, in the house of Moses. And then he spent another 40 years where? In the land of wilderness of Midian, right? After he killed the Egyptian and they caught him and they wanted to kill him, he fled to the land of Midian and stayed 40 years. So he understood that he had a role and God wanted to use him, but it wasn't until he reached full maturity at the age of 80 years old that God says, okay, now you're ready, right? So our spiritual maturity takes time. I can't assume that in my prayers, I will go from, you know, if I say the Lord's Prayer, from going from saying the Lord's Prayer to praying all of the hours in the Egbeya. I can do this maybe for a day or two, a week at most, and then I'll stop and do nothing. And say, I built up like a bank. I'm not going to pray for like 2 months. And then you don't pray at all. It needs to happen incrementally. Incrementally. Anybody who's climbed like a mountain or something or went maybe to St. Anthony Monastery in Egypt, it's on the top of a mountain. You know, before they built the stairs, you'd have to climb, right? But if I look at, just look from here all the way to the top, I say it's daunting. And sometimes they'll say, okay, I'm too tired. I'm not going to go. But what happens? We take step by step, step by step. And as we take one step up, we get one step further from the ground and closer to the destination. So this is what happens with our spiritual maturity. The same goes with fasting, right? I can't expect to fast, you know, the abstinence from the whole day from nothing. I take step by step. And this is where the value of a father of confession comes. It can help us, take us from step to step. Even with our children, their own spiritual maturity happens patiently. It takes patience over time. Right? Again, when they fast, it begins small, fasting 1 day a week, then 2 days as they grow, then 3 days as they grow, and so on. However, I want to put an asterisk here and a little warning, because sometimes we'll find sometimes maybe I'm used to praying yani the Igbeya, and then when it comes now, I have children and I'm teaching them, I say, you know what, they're babes, right? So let me just say Our Father with them. So we end up sometimes going back to being babes again, right? So we say, okay, I prayed with my kids. Okay, what did you pray with your kids? We prayed Our Father. And then what? And this was my prayer. And sometimes we go from being mature to less mature when we're nurturing those who are less mature. But we don't do that in our life, right? When we're feeding children baby food, do we consume the baby food? I hope not, because most of it doesn't really taste very appetizing. So we need to be very careful of this. Also, if we refer back to St. Paul, and it says Corinthians, he rebukes them for being babes who were once mature. He rebukes them for being babes again. And he says what? And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you the milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So he says they're still immature and he's feeding them with milk, although he expected them to be more mature. What was the sign of their immaturity? It was them being carnal. Thinking about things, earthly things, right? So spiritual growth, my beloved, is something that takes patience, but it needs work as well. We need to work at it. The second thing that requires patience in our spiritual journey is overcoming a particular sin. Sometimes a particular sin can take years for us to overcome. But the important thing to understand here is the overcoming of the sin or the victory of the sin is in God's timing. What is our job as believers in Christ and faithful brethren is to struggle, is the struggle, continuing to struggle and faithfully, right? To do everything in my part so I struggle against the sin. Typically, those sins that have plagued us for the longest are the ones that take more patience to overcome. There's a story of a monk who complained to his spiritual father about a sin that has plagued him. So he comes and says, let's take a walk. So they're taking a walk together, and as they're walking, they see like a small flower. So he tells his disciple, pull the flower out and show it to me. So he bends down and takes the flower and pulls it up and shows it to him. And he says, very good, thank you so much. And they keep walking and walking, and in a little while they get like a larger little bush, right? So he says, can you take that out for me? So he starts pulling the bush, and you know it's a little deeper, and he pulls it and pulls it, and finally he takes it out, and he says, wow, that's a big bush. Okay, let's keep walking. So then they keep walking, and they find a tree. And he says, can you pull the tree out for me? I want to see the roots. So he starts pulling and tugging and pulling and tugging, of course, and he says, I can't pull it. It's too hard. And he said, this is how it is. The longer that we let sin take root in us, the harder it is to pull out, right? But in all the ones he was able to pull out, he had to struggle. Maybe with the bush, it took longer than the flower, right? And maybe with the tree, had he had some equipment, had some help, he could pull it out as well, but it would just take what? It would take longer. It would take patience. So sometimes the sins that are plaguing us take a long time. And again, our job is to struggle and not the victory. The victory is in Christ's timing. This is why St. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, for consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. This is something that we ought to live by as Christians, to strive against sin. We look maybe at the boldness of sin nowadays, and we compare this with this verse of striving to bloodshed. Us maybe is just striving like not to look at something or get on social media or comment a bad comment or make fun of someone. This is not to bloodshed, all right? And this is just some things that could be easy. But he's saying here it needs to be to the point of even bloodshed. And of course, I speak to myself first, my beloved. The third thing that takes patience in our spiritual journey is fruit in whatever labor or service that we do. The fruit that comes out. Anyone who's done gardening or anything like that knows this concept very well. That when I plant something, it takes time. And there are some plants that need like 10 years or cycles of, winter and summer, winter, summer, for the fruit to come. So some plants take many years to evolve and to come to fruition. And this is the same. Sometimes we think when we speak to somebody about orthodoxy that they ought to be coming to church and be baptized within a week or two. It takes patience. It takes patience. Remember, we're speaking about people maybe who don't have any foundation, spiritual foundation, right? So you need to start slow, and over time things can develop and can grow. Sometimes when we minister to those who are lost or are not coming to church, we think that with one word that I say or Abuna says that they'll come back, or the servant says that they'll come back. No, it's a gradual process. It needs patience. Follow up, yes, consistent follow up, showing care and concern and so on. But it takes patience for these things to evolve and come again to fruition. And if we look, for example, the people of Samaria. You know, the people of Samaria at the time of Christ, these were the outcasts. With regard to the Jews, the Jews looked at them and said these were non-pure, right? Because they mixed with the non-believers and they took the customs of the non-believers as well. And then they made for themselves like a place of worship besides Jerusalem in Samaria. And we know this, of course, in the history in the Old Testament. Also, if we remember the story with the Samaritan woman, where she asked the Lord where one ought to worship, because she was taught, a Samaritan, that this is where one ought to worship. So he began to speak with her, and then he told her, that we will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and he preached to her. He showed her compassion, and then she became a Christian, right, at that moment. And then she went to the city of Samaria, and remember what she told them? Come see a man who told me everything. So then at the end of the story, it says that the people came to hear Christ, not because of her, because, remember, she was a sinner in the city, not because of her, because of what he had said. So what happened here? We saw the Samaritan woman come to Samaria and planted the seeds of Christ. Then Christ came and added and fed and watered those seed. And then if you jump to Acts chapter 8, we find Philip the deacon going to preach to Samaria. And look what it says. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. So they all what? They all followed him. Of course, Philip understands. He's one part of the whole equation, right? He's not looking and saying, ah, look at my preaching and my miracles and all these people are coming after me because of what I said. No, he knows. He knows that the Samaritan woman planted, Christ watered, and he watered some more, and then God gave the increase. He understands this, right? He understands that the fruit of a service and ministry takes time. The same thing with us and our brethren, maybe who don't know Christ. Another aspect in our spiritual journey that requires patience is enduring the hardships in my life with thanksgiving. We often do not see the work of God in our hardships. We look and we see the work of God in all of the successes He gives us. He grants us, you know, a promotion, gives us a job, allows us to get into a college we want to, maybe marry the person of my dreams, whatever it is. We see all God's hand in these things. But then when it comes times of hardship, we say, no, God is absent. God is absent. As if God doesn't work and cannot work with difficult times and hardships. My beloved, on the contrary, He uses both. He uses both. If you remember St. Paul, it said that he had a thorn in the flesh. And he says in 2 Corinthians, he says, "What concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So St. Paul asked the Lord three times to deliver him from this sickness, not for a personal gain, but so he could minister to him. So he could minister, do something good, right? Then what is St. Paul's response to this when God says to him, no, I want you to keep the thorn in the flesh. He says, therefore, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So once he asked, and God says no, he took this and this became his boasting. My beloved, you and me, yani, this is very difficult. When we go through a hardship and then we take the hardship itself and we can boast about this, this is very difficult. And then he says, why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he understood the lesson. So the first request was from a thorn in the flesh. But this was just the beginning. Because look at all the other things, yani, that he endured. He says infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecution, distress. These are all other types of hardships. But he took the principle and said to himself, you know what? If God wanted to deliver me from this hardship, he would deliver me. But if not, this will be the source of my connection with Christ and I'll feel his glory in them. So this became his boasting. Lastly, my beloved, what takes patience in our spiritual journey is not only our repentance, but the repentance of our brethren, the repentance of other people. Again, oftentimes we expect that when somebody is corrected, that they change and never make this mistake again. But my beloved, we don't do this. How many times do we go back and we confess the same thing to Abuna? Right? We do. So we want God to be patient with us as we mature spiritually. But yet we don't want to afford the same kind of patience with my brethren, right? But I told him or her 100 times to do so and so. Yes. But when St. Peter asked the Lord, how many times should we forgive somebody? He said 70 times, 7 times a day. Meaning don't count. Forgiveness, right? Being patient with them. There was a young man who had a terrible addiction when he was young, hung around the wrong crowd. And even to the point where he knew a girl out of wedlock and had a child with her. And of course, this was many, many years back, and it was something that was very shameful. So his mother, yani, didn't know what to do, and his father was a non-believer, so she didn't know what to do, so she just said, I'm going to pray for him. And she went and saw the council of the bishops and so on. And then after her husband died, she took her son and she sent him to have a decent education because she saw that he was lazy. So she sent him to a city there to study. And while he was there, she called the bishop of the city and said, my son is there. He's lost. He needs, he needs repentance. So the bishop said, okay, I will call him. This bishop came and met with this young man, and over a course of time, took 17 years for this, and working with this individual for him to repent. And he repented at the end, and we know him today as who? Okay, he went to the city of Milan. Does it help? St. Augustine. Yes, the saint was St. Augustine. And it was because the prayers and tears of his mother, St. Monica, right, that he repented. And she prayed for him for 17 years with tears that he would repent. And when she went to meet St. Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, he said to her, the son of these tears will never perish. Took patience. Imagine if she prayed for a month, a year. Abuna, I put his name on the altar for a year. He didn't do anything. But she did this for 17 years until he repented. But in the end, he repented and became one of the church fathers and very influential in the church. My beloved, our spiritual journey takes patience. We need to learn to be patient with ourselves and our own spiritual growth, with the guidance of our spiritual father, and be patient with our brethren as they also grow in their spiritual journey. To Christ be the God of glory forever and ever. Amen.